Victory at Sea. I remember my dad having all three of those albums, and one opened up and had great pictures in it that was fascinating to a little kid. And the other one had some sound effects from real Navy vessels that I found interesting. Richard Rodgers music with the Houston Symphony.
Beautiful programming right here on WHFR Dearborn. Thank you for listening. Hope you're enjoying this classical music. Speaking of beautiful music and great programming, particularly live programming, we invite you to learn more about the upcoming 2009-2010 season of the Dearborn Symphony Orchestra. That's right, that gem of amazing artists performing beautiful, beautiful music in our own backyard, really, at the Ford Community and Performing Arts Center. To learn more about the upcoming season, which really is not as far away as you might think. First performance kicks off on Friday, October the 2nd. Call this number, 313-565-2424. It's the Dearborn Symphony office, 565-2424. Or check out the website, dearbornsymphony.org. That's dearbornsymphony.org. Perhaps you had the pleasure of enjoying a performance from this season, and we hope you'll have the pleasure of enjoying one from next. Thanks to the Dearborn Symphony for all of their hard work, and keep up the great work.
You are listening to WHFR Dearborn.
Welcome to We Are Not Alone. We're local investigators, as well as world-renowned scientists and ufologists, share their latest evidence in support of the UFO reality. Hi, I'm David Twitchell, and you're listening to WHFR Dearborn. And for the next hour, we will be exploring the mysteries of the UFO and abduction phenomena. We have a return guest today in Stephen Bassett. Mr. Bassett is a leading advocate for ending the 62-year government-imposed truth embargo regarding an extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race. He's a political activist, lobbyist, commentator, and columnist. He is the executive director of the Paradigm Research Group and the Extraterrestrial Phenomenon Political Action Committee, or XPAC, the creator of the Paradigm Clock and the executive producer of the X Conference. His work has been extensively covered by the mainstream media. Mr. Bassett's Million Facts on Washington campaign resulted in thousands of letters, emails, and faxes to President Obama urging him to follow suit with many other countries in releasing classified documents on the UFO phenomenon and enlightening the populace on this, the most important truth in human history. It is now time to take that project a step further, and here to tell us about it is Mr. Stephen Bassett, and welcome back to We Are Not Alone, Steve.
Oh, David, it's great to be with you again.
It's good to have you back. You did the Million Facts on Washington when you were here last year, just before the election, urging our listeners to write to the then president-elect. And how successful was that?
It's moving along on schedule. This project actually goes all the way back to early 2008. It's been planned to arrive right where it is right now.
Okay.
First, what was necessary was to try to inculcate the UFO ET issue as much as possible into the presidential campaign coverage, political press, and all that. And we got a lot of articles connecting various candidates to the UFO issue, and I did some media and. A lot happened. I mean, it was clearly in play, and even to the point we got some questions asked of the candidates, one of the debates.
Yeah.
And others during visits and stuff. So that was good. Then also during that year, we needed to build the expand the disclosure movement network. It went more international.
Right.
And that was necessary as well. Okay, all that was prelude to then launching the Million Facts on November the 5th. We promoted it all through October, and then it starts November the 5th, and the idea was to get as many letters into the president-elect as possible, calling for disclosure, calling for full briefings to the president, no need to know stuff, none of that, and also calling for the technology to be brought forward that we believe they have had and worked on for 60 years. We need to be able to develop for peaceful purposes, and so forth. And those letters poured in for the 77 transition days through to the January 20. Now, they did not comment on it. The White House has not commented yet at all on any of this. I didn't expect it would.
No, not really.
So, fine. We got that going.
We made them aware of the fact that the people of this country, at least, are very interested, very concerned. And, you know, the polls show that more than 50% of Americans believe that we have been visited.
And 80% believe the government's not telling the truth. And we also made the media aware, a lot of media coverage of the Million Facts. There were YouTube videos created. They're still up. And all of this, by the way, is at factsonwashington.org, the whole thing and what have you, and people can go there anytime. So that was phase one. Phase two, all right, now we shift to the White House.
Okay.
So now we have in the transition headquarters, we just had an email contact page and an address in the White House. Of course, you have an address and a fax number and an email contact page at whitehouse.gov. And so then the faxes, emails, and letters went directly to the White House, same message, calling for disclosure, calling for the technology to come forward, calling for briefings, calling for congressional hearings, and so forth. All good. This is and the idea was to do that for the first 100 days, but we extended it to 131 days because, let's face it, had a tough job when he came in.
Right, that's right.
And then at the same time, did a lot of media and tried to get the message to the White House through the media that it would be best if the government was going to disclose to do it as soon as possible, preferably in that key 100 days or 120, 30 days, because they have the highest political capital, but for two very important reasons. One, if the administration doesn't disclose quickly, the embargo becomes their embargo pretty soon.
What does that mean?
It means that now the Obama administration is part of the truth embargo on the ET issue.
Oh, I see what you're saying, yeah.
Now it's his embargo. And so eventually that's going to come back to bite him because it's going to completely undermine his whole open, transparent government reform pillar that he's been putting forward from early on.
And the only way to avoid that is to keep it secret ad infinitum.
Forever, yeah. Unfortunately, that's not going to happen, and the reason that's not going to happen is if the other reason not to disclose early is that the indications are out there that another nation is going to disclose if the U.S. doesn't do it. The three leading candidates are France, the United Kingdom, and China. So they lead, we follow. So there's a lot at stake. The legacy is at stake, and, of course, we need that technology. We need that Cracker Jack box prize, so we need to open the box. So that was the message, and if they didn't, you know, get around to it, we were going to turn the heat up. And that's exactly what's happening now. Phase three began on June the 1st of the Million Facts, and we think it's going to turn the heat up on the administration substantially. You want to know how?
please share this with us.
Yes.
You were hoping I would ask, didn't you?
Yes, I was hoping you would.
Okay, tell us how.
It's a... I don't know if it's ever been done before. So if it hasn't, good. But if not, either way. The focus now shifts from the White House to a different target. And the target is the White House Press Corps.
Ah.
These are those fine men and women that you see on C-SPAN every working day.
You mean the people that cut this down constantly?
Well, I don't know. It's not so much that they cut it down, because it's not that they don't cover it at all. At that high end, particularly in the White House. I mean, at the high end political people, they don't ask those questions.
But you have to admit they have to editorialize every UFO stories, you know?
The embargo is still in place, and it's 62 years old. I mean, my entire life I've lived under the truth embargo. I've never known a day in my life where I didn't live under the truth embargo.
Right.
So we're all a victim of it, and the high end press are really the last to come to the party, but the press is definitely coming around.
Uh-huh.
I recently had PRG had an article about its work on the New York Times website. Good article. The X conference 2009, the press conference afterwards, and a conference was written up in the Washington Post and the Washington Times. It's hard to argue with that. It's hard to complain. The articles weren't all that bad. So the press is coming around, but have they really decided, okay, we're really going to cover this? I mean, appropriately. Now, what does appropriate mean? Well, if you're talking about a garbage strike in, say, some Midwestern city, it deserves a certain amount of news, right?
Right.
If you're talking about the extraterrestrial presence engaging the human race, that's a big story. And so it needs the appropriate degree of coverage. Mm-hmm. The key word is appropriate. So the focus is now on the White House Press Corps. So we're doing a bunch of stuff. First of all, everybody who sent a letter to the president previously is being asked to copy that letter to the White House Press Corps. And by the way, this is all going through care of the White House Correspondents Association, the WHCA.net. The only organization that represents these press to the administration.
Okay.
And coverage issues. It has a perfectly nice address, email, contact page, and fax number. And so we're not going to send stuff individually to different reporters. No, it's all going through one door, the White House Correspondents Association. And we're asking them to copy all the letters. That if you've sent one, then copy the WHCA. But then, in addition, we want all of those people and everybody else within the sound of my voice who learn about this on the net or in Facebook or wherever,
mm-hmm.
to now send a letter to the White House Press Corps, care of the WHCA, and say, we want you to start asking questions about this issue, appropriate questions, and we demand appropriate answers. Now, to facilitate this, at the factsonwashington.org website, there you can find 15 carefully selected questions that have significant political implications,
mm-hmm.
are tied, in many cases, hooked to members of the administration or high-level members of the Democratic Party.
Mm-hmm.
So one can select from this menu and say, "Look, this is the, I'd like you to ask this, I'd like you to ask that."
Mm-hmm.
And more importantly, right there with the questions are links to the documents that back all of these questions up. Confirm the essence of the question.
Right.
Material about the Clinton administration, the Rockefeller Initiative, Hillary Clinton, Bill Richardson, John Podesta. And, of course, there's also other questions involving, like Edgar Mitchell, for instance. When is the administration going to respond to his call for an end to the truth embargo? All of this is right there. And so these questions and demands to ask these questions are going to start pouring into the press corps here very shortly.
Right.
In addition, dozens of organizations have been contacted to put out multiple press releases this month relating to this issue, connecting it to the administration, to the key people that I mentioned, and other things, and in generally relating to the facts in Washington. That's going to generate a lot of Googling. And then we also several dozen commentators and writers have been contacted to write pieces in June on this, on these various publications you've been seeing a lot of lately, The Examiner, American Journal, Op-Ed News, and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
That's going to create a lot of cross-linked Googling.
Now, The Examiner. When I think of The Examiner, I think of grocery store yellow rags. That's not the one and the same, is it?
No, it's not. There used to be a tabloid called The Examiner, but this is, in fact, one of these direct journalism operations that have come up.
Right.
And it's the fastest growing, mm-hmm. and most organized.
Right.
What's going on now is really quite extraordinary. Regular citizens are becoming citizen journalists and mm-hmm. commentators, and they are signing up with these venues like American Journal, mm-hmm. Op-Ed News, The Examiner, and are publishing directly to the people. These are not blogs. These are articles published in basically newspapers or newszines. And they're highly complex, large operations. There's no editor. There's no fact checker. It's straight to the people.
Mm-hmm.
And because the venue is highly structured, these things are properly displayed and organized, and they're being picked up by Google News searches.
I see.
And so right now, UFO articles are pouring out of The Examiner and in American Journal. There's more articles generated there than anywhere else.
And now the Examiner covers all kinds of news, correct?
That's right. It covers everything, but a lot of UFO-related material is being written about.
Yeah. It's
and it's given a venue to people that are smart and knowledgeable and writing this up to try to fill the vacuum that some of the media is not taking care of.
Right. You've got to be careful, and I always warn people, they have to be careful when they go on the web. There's a lot of good information on the web about the UFO phenomenon.
Sure.
That said, there's a lot of crap, too.
Sure.
And, yeah, so when I get an article, I check its source, and if it comes from a site that just does stuff on UFOs, I start to get skeptical. If it's a news article, unless it's specifically like MUFON or something, mm-hmm. or your site that deals strictly with UFOs. But if it's like a news article, like the Examiner, I always check and see, do they do sports? Do they do the economy? Do they this, that, and the other? If they do, then they just happen to include UFO stories.
Yeah, it's a new genre. It's unprecedented.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go to Op-Ed News, for instance, they cover everything, but they have citizen writers and journalists working for them. Anybody can really sign up.
Mm-hmm.
And so they've got thousands of articles covering everything. But what it means is everything can be at least covered. You're going to be able to get articles about every subject, even the ones that the media are not relating to.
Right.
And what's intriguing is the quality is actually pretty high. People are trying very hard to write well and to try to provide good information. So still, it needs discernment. You've got to use your discernment, and you've got to understand that there isn't an editor between that writer and you, and these writers are not being paid, though you can make a little money on the Examiner. This is just information. So it's a kind of a hybrid between a blog and a full-fledged newspaper. It's halfway between.
Right.
But in any event, it's part of the new information matrix. And so that's going to be in play in June as well. And we expect to get some mainstream coverage. So there's going to be a lot of coverage, a lot of exposure. And I've booked about 40 hours already and expect to do another 20 hours of radio on top of that to getting the word out. So we expect this thing to be well in play. And then the question is, are people going to step up? In other words, we need people to do something. If they want this to end, all of this whole project has come to this point. The press has been coming around. The press is ready to jump on this issue. They're very close. They just need a little encouragement, a little push.
Mm-hmm.
And we need to send a message to the media. And actually, we need to send a message to a particular segment of the media, and this is high-end political press. And, of course, the press corps is in the middle of the high-end political press. Let's understand that.
Yeah.
It's not the only political media. You've got people covering the Pentagon and the State Department and all the other aspects of government. Mm. But this is the perfect target. So we need to send a message to them that it's okay. Ask these questions. We want you to, right? And I think while the majority may not respond, a handful, I think, may respond. And if those questions start getting asked, I know pretty much what the answers are going to be. There's only a few possible options to answer these questions, and all of them are going to generate more questions. And so the cat will be out of the bag, and I think we could trigger a media frenzy if a media finally chomps down like a bulldog on this issue.
Yeah, I think that's the problem with not releasing just a little bit of the fact that, okay, folks, when you see these UFOs, they're not ours. We don't know who they are, who they belong to, and that's all I'm going to tell you. I mean, you just opened the floodgates.
You can't do that. That's why the public policy since 69 is to say nothing.
Right.
Unless you're queried, and then they'll send out a little sheet of paper that says, our position is we do not investigate UFOs and whatever it is that doesn't pose a national security threat. This is the real don't ask, don't tell policy the government's been operating. It's bad policy.
We just had John Greenwald on our show last month, and he kind of put an end to that fairy tale that our government doesn't investigate UFOs.
Yeah, they investigate, but they don't do it publicly, and they don't acknowledge it, and they don't talk about it because they know that it will only incite greater interest. And the policy of the actual policy of the United States government has been a formal truth embargo, designed and constructed to contain the issue and keep it from being formally acknowledged. That is the policy of the government, whether it's stated or not. And that, of course, is the policy that we intend to change. So the press has gone along with the embargo. Initially, I think there were deals struck back in the 40s and 50s. I think it was easy. It was for national security reasons. Stay away from it. Don't cover it except once in a while. Don't draw too much attention to it. Maybe even ridicule it, whatever. We can't have this out. And I think the networks just lined up and said, "No, yes, sir," and saluted the flag. Okay, fine. And then eventually the Cold War, of course, went on forever, and the embargo had to remain in place while the Cold War deepened. There was no way they were going to have the ET issue out and in play with all those nuclear warheads on hair triggers pointed at each other.
All right.
And so the embargo by 91 had already been around for 44 years, so it sort of had a whole life of its own. It was running on its own momentum at that point. It was almost reflexive. You didn't need to call up an editor every couple of months and say, "Don't forget, don't cover that UFO issue." It was just standard procedure. You didn't do it.
All right, all right.
Well, once the Cold War ended, everything changed. And from that moment forward, we've been on an inevitable path to disclosure. And the only question is it's going to happen sooner or later.
Mm.
And I make the case that it needs to be sooner, if not immediate. One, because I believe the America, if it wants to lead, needs to be that nation that discloses. Since we started this, it was our decision and our formal policy. And secondly, another nation is going to step in and do it if we don't.
Yes.
And thirdly, I think we've had enough. I'm convinced from everything I see and read that we got a lot of problems right now. I mean, you can't turn on the TV without being told the end of the world could be happening at at a neighborhood near you.
Right.
So I think we need all the tools in the toolbox to address these very substantial problems. And if we've got transcendent physics sitting in government laboratories being worked on from alien craft for the last 60 years, then I want that physics made available for peaceful development. We simply cannot solve the problems that we're facing by just inflating our tires a little bit more and recycling our bottles and cans.
I'm afraid you're right. We're going to have to take a short break, non-commercial break right now, but we're going to get right back with Mr. Stephen Bassett, Washington Insider, and Paradigm Research Group leader, shall we say. But we're going to take a break right now. I need to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves, and I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're going to get right back to Mr. Bassett right after this. Don't go away.
There's a place where a total stranger will give their blood to save your life. There's a place where someone you never knew will save your child from drowning. A place where people will give you food and shelter after a flood. There's a place where, when you need it most, someone will reach out their hand, put it across your shoulder and say, "Everything's going to be okay." That place is called America, where we look out for each other. And it's up to us to keep it that way. When you help the American Red Cross, you help America. Call 1-800-RED-CROSS or visit redcross.org today.
Do you find it difficult to find the time to work out? Does the price of a gym membership seem too expensive? Don't let these reasons get in the way of exercising. Try the Henry Ford Community College Fitness Center. The HFCC Fitness Center is conveniently located on campus in the Athletic Memorial Building. Drop in between classes or before you go home for the day. You'll save valuable time because you won't have to commute to a gym. And the best part is that use of the fitness center is free to HFCC students. Students should bring their student ID for access. Lockers are available for no charge, but you must provide your own lock. Come and work out at the HFCC Fitness Center.
Listen, was that you?
Remember the good old days of punk rock? hardcore and indie. On the It's All Gravy radio show, I play the old school classics as well as the new and up-and-comers. You can listen in each and every Friday night / Saturday morning from midnight to 2 a.m. on the only station making waves, WHFR.FM.
This is WHFR.FM, the station making waves. And I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. And we're speaking today with Mr. Stephen Bassett, and getting right back to him. Mr. Bassett, some of the people on Obama's staff, like John Podesta, who was on the Clinton administration also, they're interested in UFOs. They want the subject brought to a head, and Podesta said we ought to do it for many reasons, one of which is the law.
Right.
And how many others, drop some names here, how many others on Obama's, that is close to Obama, or in Congress, who already know that this is a fact and want it released to the public?
I'm sure many of them know it's true, but virtually none have commented about what they think should be done or not. Again, the embargo, can't touch it, third rail. However, you're right. One of the reasons that this is in play, one of the reasons that I believe this Main Facts in Washington is going to succeed, is that there is a powerful political connection to all this now that didn't exist prior to 93, and it sort of worked out well. Now, here's why. In 93, Lawrence Rockefeller, billionaire son of John D., approached the Clinton administration to end the truth embargo. He wanted Clinton to release all the UFO documents. He wanted to provide a report to the president. He wanted an amnesty program for people in government to come forward and talk freely without fear. He wanted he was talking about putting an ad in every newspaper in the country, full page. Huh. He also wanted to they also discussed reinvestigating Roswell, bringing the records out. This initiative, called the Rockefeller Initiative, went on for 3 years. And it was focused on the Office of Science and Technology Policy, which was run by John Gibbons, who's still around.
Right.
The press didn't bother to cover it, didn't write it up. There was one article that turned up kind of not a serious article in the New York Post. That was it. Again, truth embargo. Huh. But Rockefeller left quite a legacy there. And as it happens, of course, Bill Clinton knew that this was going on, and he actually responded to it without being overt. He asked John Podesta, his key aide, to find a way to improve the declassification schema for the government, and Podesta did that, resulting in the release of millions of more documents and saving the government money and what have you. He asked Webster Hubble, his longtime friend from Arkansas, to look into the UFO issue over justice. He mentioned it a couple of times in some speeches. That's about all he could do. But so Clinton knew about it. John Podesta was his aide. He knew about it. Hillary Clinton was the first lady. She was in the White House. She knew about it. In fact, we have documents showing that she was involved in it. Leon Panetta was the chief of staff to Bill Clinton at this time, and he knew about it. Al Gore was the vice president. He knew about it. Hmm. Right? And Bill Richardson, who eventually became the Secretary of Energy and the ambassador to the UN and is close to the Clintons, we're pretty sure was aware of the Rockefeller Initiative, which went on for 3 years. Hmm. Well, okay, fine. Now, Clinton came under heavy attack. His political capital was used up by all of the scandal and the attacks on the administration. And frankly, he was not going to be the disclosure president because the military intelligence complex was not going to let that happen. He was not acceptable to them, and that was clearly known right away. Now, I think they warmed up to him in his second term, and by the end, I think they had an appreciation for President Clinton, but initially, out of the question. So the Rockefeller Initiative failed, but it left this legacy. And now, 96, we're talking 13 years later, lo and behold, Hillary Clinton nearly becomes president, now Secretary of State. Leon Panetta becomes the director of the CIA. John Podesta becomes the transition chief, now and the founder and president of the number one progressive think tank, and very close to the Clintons. Bill Richardson runs for president, still the governor of New Mexico. this is significant. These people were fully aware of the Rockefeller Initiative. Al Gore, of course, has gone to become a major activist for energy reform and environmental reform, which has a significant connection to the UFO issue. All these people have never been asked about this. They're in the public arena, and so there is a perfect hook for the press to get to these people and say, "What's up with all of this?"
Yeah.
And so that's exactly. We're trying to take the Rockefeller Initiative legacy, use that as the hook to get the press into this for real, and of course draw the Obama administration into it because some of these people are key members of the Obama administration.
Yeah.
And the confirmation of all this is at the factsonwashington.org website. They're one of the key sources of information for any person that goes there, including the press, is the work of Grant Cameron, who at the moment is the most important researcher in the world on this issue, as far as I'm concerned, because of the timing and what's happening. Yeah, other researchers are wonderful and they do great work, but I mean, what he's done is specifically significant. Why? He is the world's leading authority on the and archivist of information regarding the intersection of the UFO issue and U.S. presidents. And it has he's archived all that at his website, presidentialufo.com. Mm. And the crown jewel of that material is the Clinton material, which gets into the Rockefeller Initiative at great length and a lot of other stuff. It was Grant that filed the largest FOIA request regarding this in 2000 and got nearly 1,000 pages of documents from the OSTP confirming the Rockefeller Initiative. 173 of those documents are up on my Rockefeller Initiative section in my website, ParadigmResearchGroup.org, and of course there's links to that, including the Hillary Clinton documents that confirm that she was informed about this and involved in it. So the documents, the material, the write-up, the narrative, it's the links to all of that is right there. And, of course, the Rockefeller Initiative is now kind of known, but the press has not asked about it yet. And so a lot of these questions center around the Rockefeller Initiative and some of the players and the people that knew about it who are now big shots in the Democratic Party and the Obama administration. It's pretty straightforward, David. The press, I think, is ready to move, and I think we've given them something to chew on. And if they start asking the right questions, I think the truth embargo could be over in 60 days or less.
So how is it that Lawrence Rockefeller knows so much about the UFO phenomena?
He was always interested in the subject. Lawrence was a much more complicated man than the other brothers, and he was not so much interested in business. He had his business interests, I'm sure, but he was very wealthy, and he had supported a lot of paranormal research. He supported John Mack. He supported crop circle research. He supported UFO researchers. He was interested in the subject. And I think it's fair to say, if you're a billionaire and a member of the Rockefeller family, there's probably more than a few people inside government, well-connected, that would be happy to tip you off.
Yeah.
You know, Lawrence, I can't show you any bodies or anything, but, you know, this UFO thing, it's real.
Mm-hmm.
And so Lawrence made the decision, I think because the Cold War was over, that whoever won the 92 election, whether it's Perot, Bush, or Clinton, he was going to go in and see if he could move this thing along. And of course all this is documented. We have the document showing all this, and it was well, I'm glad he did it. In fact, I met recently with his daughter. She's in her 70s now, lovely lady, and I presented an award that we'd given to him at the X conference 2008, obviously posthumously. Right. And I gave that to her, and we chatted, and I asked her if she knew about Rockefeller's, her father's efforts in that regard back then. And she said she didn't actually know about it. She was
really
doing other things.
Huh.
But I did ask her, well, but I believe the family wasn't very supportive of this, and she agreed, yeah, they were not. However, she is and was. So there you have it. Lawrence Rockefeller's legacy may be a key factor, along with Grant Cameron's research, in creating the right circumstances, assuming the American people want to know the truth. Are they ready to learn this or not? You want to know about whether we're alone or not? You need to step up here, and we need to get we need to get a lot of letters into the White House press corps via the White House Correspondents Association, info@factsonwashington.org. Let's send them 30, 40,000 letters with some suggested questions that need to be asked of the administration. I have a feeling we're going to get a response.
Okay, slowly now, where do we go on the web to get the information on?
All right, facts, that's F-A-X, onwashington.org is the home base for the site. And when you go there, the portal page is pretty cool. What you'll encounter initially is a photo of the White House press room, briefing room, in the West Wing. And under it is a quote. And the quote is from a plaque that was donated to the National Press Club in 1962 upon the 50th anniversary of the Columbia School of Journalism, which was founded by Joseph Pulitzer. And there's a link to that plaque, and you can go read the whole quote, but the first sentence of that quote is what you see on the factsonwashington.org portal page, and it's a very important statement, simple but incredibly important, and it is this: our republic and its press will rise or fall together. And that is so true.
I guess so, yeah.
And we've certainly seen that happen. We have seen that play out in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years, going back, I think, to the early days of the Vietnam War. When the press do not do their job, the people suffer.
Right.
And eventually the press suffer, too.
Right.
So we are calling on the press, particularly the high-end media, to continue to expand the coverage of this issue and take it home, to bring us home here. And all it's going to take is for a handful, three, four, five reporters, to dig in and say, okay, I'm asking some very appropriate questions, and I'm going to stand my ground until I get appropriate answers. And what do I mean by appropriate answer? Well, it's simple, David. If a member of the White House press corps were to attend a briefing with Secretary of State Hillary Clinton and ask her, Secretary of State, what do you think about the recent actions of the Pakistani government with respect to Afghanistan? And if her response was, oh, I don't pay attention to Afghanistan anymore, it's not really important, what do you think would happen? Okay, that's an inappropriate answer.
Yes.
Okay, and we're at a point now when these questions are important, the issue is powerful, and an inappropriate answer, I think, is going to be a mistake on the part of whoever gives that answer.
Well, you remember when Kucinich, Dennis Kucinich, was asked, you know, did you see a UFO?
Mm-hmm.
And, oh, everybody got this little chuckle. They love to chuckle about
that. He danced, didn't he?
Yeah, he says, wait a minute, it was an unidentified flying object.
That's right.
And, oh, I could see the sweat beads coming out of Hillary Clinton's forehead.
She thought she was going to get the next question.
Yeah, because someone, I forget who it was now, was asked. About, oh, well, Obama was asked, you know, and then he kind of danced around it and, you know, says, well, I'm more
concerned about the people down here. Yeah. Obama knew the question was coming. He's a very smart, very slick guy.
Mm-hmm.
Kucinich knew the question was coming, but he had a problem because, well, you know, it's true. He knows the EP presence is real. He's been briefed on this subject by my colleagues years ago. He just decided he wasn't going to touch it. He decided to back away from it. I think he made a big mistake there.
This was before he had a sighting?
Oh, yeah. Well, no. He had a sighting in 82 when he was staying at Shirley MacLaine's house.
Right.
And she's the one that outed him in her book. And then, but he was then briefed on this subject extensively in 2000, 1999. And I think he was thinking about engaging the issue, but he got cold feet. But, you know, after that debate in Philadelphia on September 30, that's when Chris Matthews asked Bill Richardson about his statement in the foreword to the book Roswell Dig Diaries, calling for a reinvestigation of Roswell and proclaiming that the Air Force explanation didn't add up. Now, Bill wasn't expecting that question, and he really was tap dancing. But ultimately, he finally came around and said, well, you know, I just don't think the explanation is valid. And boy, the light went off in Chris Matthews' head, and he just, you could just see the change on his face. And he said, wait a minute, are you saying that, you know? And then Bill danced a little bit more, and then it was over. Now, Chris Matthews has been getting material from me and other people for years. He's chosen not to address this issue, but he asked him that night, and you got a little glimpse of what's coming, because he bore in real fast the moment he realized that Richardson was reconfirming what he had written in that foreword. Now, he didn't follow up because there's a truth embargo on, but you got a glimpse of what's coming. The press can bring this embargo down very fast. They just need to ask a few of the right questions.
So why did Richardson make that comment in the first place? I mean, you put it in a book. It was public.
That's right.
Why did he make that comment if he wasn't going to back it up?
Well, they're not telling, but my belief is this. I believe the Democrats made the decision after they lost in 2000, that when they got back in power, they were going to disclose. This issue has been advancing too fast. The pressure on the embargo is huge. Other nations are stepping up. They realize they're running out of time, and they know what a political legacy it would be. I mean, we're talking big time, all right?
Well, granted, there's an awful lot on Obama's plate right now, a lot on Americans' plates right now. But how long would you say it would have to go from the beginning of his inauguration to the time of official disclosure before he would, you know, you could safely say, well, he's saved face? In other words, it couldn't go to when he's walking out the door 4 or 8 years from now and say, oh, by the way, just before I close, turn out the lights behind me, we're not alone in the universe.
The way I would put it, David, is this. Every week, month that goes by from here, this point forward, the embargo starts to have his name written on it.
Mm.
And yeah, I guess you could say every week one more letter gets written on it. And so it's a little subjective, but it's the embargo is shifting to his tenure.
Mm.
Now, when does it fully become his? Is it a month? Is it 2 months? Is it 3 months? Hard to say, but clearly he's going to own it soon enough. And so let's just say that the sooner, the better. But again, there's an important point here. In the last 2 years, the last two or three years, Canada has released thousands of UFO files out of their archives. Sweden, Denmark, the UK, France, tens of thousands of files are being released and gone over by researchers generating news stories. This is not an accident. These nations just aren't house cleaning. They're not trying to create some space in their vaults. They are sending a message to the U.S., hey, guys, we've been going along with this for 60 years. You know, we'd like to sort of get on with civilization here. So get your job done. And so the Obama administration better understand that, and I'm speaking directly to him. I'm speaking to John Podesta, who I think is the key linchpin here,
right,
and to Rahm Emanuel, of course, the chief of staff. If you don't do this, you're going to wake up one day here in a week or two or a month, and you're going to open up the Washington Post, and it's going to have a big headline in the front. It's going to say, today, the French president, Sarkozy, announced to the French people that the French government had confirmation and proof that, in fact, multiple extraterrestrial civilizations are engaging this planet and have been for decades. And the U.S. will be second fiddle, egg on their face.
Egg on their faces.
That's what they're facing, and unless they have control of these governments, we're still living in a world where America just says jump and everybody says how high, that can happen and will happen, we're not living in that world anymore, in case anybody hasn't noticed.
That will turn around if that scenario comes true, or some other kind. Of course, then America will just say, well, it might be true over in France, it might be true over in Belgium, but it's just a fantasy over here.
Oh, you'll see the dominoes fall so fast. I mean, it'll be over so quickly. It's all it takes is this one nation. See, everybody else is just spring loaded, then four other nations will follow. And the only question is, how will the U.S. be the fourth, fifth, eighth, tenth, or 26th nation to finally fess up?
Right.
It's potentially a public relations disaster for the United States. They really have got to get their act together. If they think that they can play this game any longer, they are underestimating the power of the internet. They're underestimating the public awareness on this issue. They're underestimating and not paying attention to the amount of media coverage that's taking place. They're blowing it.
Yeah.
This is the biggest news story of all time. This is the most important event in human history. It's bigger than the Federal Reserve. It's bigger than Britney Spears. It's bigger than GM. It's the biggest issue of all time.
Yeah.
And if they think they're going to finesse this, if they're going to pretend that this million-pound gorilla is not sitting on the sofa in the living room, they're in for a very unpleasant year. They need to act, and they need to act now, but they need to hear from the people. Let's give them our support. Let's send them more letters. Let's let them know we want it done. Let's let them know we have their back, right? This is not going to take but 10 or 15 minutes. I've already talked to millions of people. Just within the last, millions of people have heard what I'm saying to you within the last 6 days. We need 20,000 of them to send some letters. Mm. Probably we'll have the White House press corps on the job. So, folks, do you want that ET tech? Would you like to have the physics that propels those craft and the propulsion system that makes those craft do what they do? Would you like to be able to have that available for peaceful uses? Would you like to maybe see energy prices drop by 98%? Would you like to be able to heat your house for a couple of bucks a month or less? Do you want to really deal with these problems they keep telling us we're facing, melting ice caps and what have you? Giant dead patches in the Pacific, ozone holes? Or do you just want to just let civilization fall apart? What do you want to do? You just want to sit there and watch television, or you want to do something? You can make a difference right now. You need to send a letter to the press and say, look, here are some questions I want you to ask the administration. I want you to do it now. It's not hard. It takes 20 minutes.
And it doesn't matter if it's extraterrestrial in origin or not. If we have that kind of technology, it should be out there. And we're going to have to take a real quick break right now. And to remind our listeners that you're listening to WHFR.FM, the only station making waves, I'm David Twitchell. You're listening to We Are Not Alone. We're speaking with Washington insider Mr. Stephen Bassett. And we're going to be right back after this very brief non-commercial break.
8. I deliver your Sunday paper every week.
7. We work on the same floor.
1 in 8 Americans is struggling with hunger.
6. Our kids walk to school together every day,
including millions of children and seniors.
5. We chat in the elevator at work sometimes.
4. I'm your cashier at the grocery store.
Who's the 1 in 8 in your life that needs help? You can make a difference through Feeding America at feedingamerica.org/1in8. A public service announcement brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Are you an HFCC college student looking for a particular textbook? How about writing utensils, paper, or Henry Ford apparel? You can find it all at the Henry Ford College Store. The College Store carries textbooks, supplies, clothing, and the most widely used classroom software. Staff members are always on hand to help you out. The College Store is located on the main campus in Dearborn, right next to the Facilities Management Building. For more information on the Henry Ford College Store, call them at 313-845-9603 or visit them online at www.hfcc.edu to order textbooks and quick study guides. The Henry Ford College Store has everything that you need to succeed.
Hi, this is The Shyster. Join me each and every Sunday from 5 to 7 p.m. for the Sunday Blues Review Show here on the only station making waves, 89.3 WHFR. To the place where I was.
This is WHFR.FM, the only station making waves. Dave Twitchell here, and We Are Not Alone is the name of the show. We're speaking with Mr. Stephen Bassett. And Mr. Bassett, we have about 10 minutes left here. But I wanted to, maybe you've already answered this question, but what do you feel would be the political implications of UFO disclosure?
Huge.
Huge.
It's so big that it's hard to get your mind around it. But let me say this. The implications are huge, but the degree of disruption I don't think will be anything like some people have claimed. We will go through a couple of years of intense scrutiny of the issue and history and the past sort of a self-education process. Information will come out, not all at once, but in components, not only from the U.S., but from other countries. And over a reasonable period of time, I believe, we will get a pretty clear picture of what the government knows. Right. We'll also hopefully have that technology in play and have all the world's intellectual resources brought to bear to see how we can use it to address the pressing concerns that we have and also revitalize the world economies, including our own. Mm-hmm. Because cheap energy opens the door for incredible business growth. But say no more. I mean, I think it's self-evident.
Well, I was getting into a conversation, in fact, with my brother-in-law the other day, mm-hmm. about the fact that the government does not want this out because, number one, if we could have free energy, they're not done selling us oil yet. And he said, right. He said, you know, the oil, or rather, Gasoline for our cars is the smallest part of oil production. And they make plastics and this and that and the other, and many, many things out of oil and lubricants and what have you. And so how do you feel about that? Would the powers that be, meaning the energy barons of this world, not want us to know that we could have free energy?
Look, I think the high-end people in big corporations like energy companies know there's an ET presence. They sort of know what the game is. I think it's not surprising that over the last 60 years, their basic policy has been to completely underrepresent how much oil is out there, creating this false concept of peak oil, because there's no advantage to that. They make their money by selling oil and gasoline for as much as they can get, and that's what makes them money. Putting a lot of oil reserves on your balance sheets don't make them any money. It just makes a company seem more expensive, but also drops the price of oil because people know there's huge reserves, then they're not willing to pay as much. And so they've underrepresented just what the oil availability is, kept the price up. They've not built refineries in order to keep the price up. They've done everything they can to get the most dollars they can from the oil they can sell, the gasoline they could sell, knowing that one day the jig was going to be up. And they've done pretty well. There are no poor oil executives. They've made unbelievable amounts of money. They're richer than God. And they sort of know the jig is up. The world is facing huge problems. Everybody knows about the climate issues and carbon footprints and all of that. And they realize that whatever influence they might have had in stalling the truth embargo, or maintaining it, or preventing the truth embargo from ending, quote, so they can sell a little more oil and gas for high prices, that's over. Nobody's buying it inside government, I don't think, and their influence is gone there. So it's possible that the private sector, for purely reasons of money, lobbied internally in some ways to extend the truth embargo. But there's no proof of that. It makes sense logically, but we may never know. But we also may know in post-disclosure world some of this history here. But that it's over. And I can assure you the energy companies will shift gears, and they'll take all the money they have, and they'll be reinvesting in the new businesses that will emerge in a post-disclosure world, and they'll remain richer than God. I'm not worried about them at all. Religion, I think, will do fine as well. You'll see religious membership go up.
Yeah.
But there will be a substantial realignment of thinking and possibly some political realignments. Relationships between nations will be altered. I think you'll see the UN become more influential. Right now, it's really not influential at all, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
So there will be significant changes, and we will be living in a new world without question. It's very possible that within a few years, after we've digested all of that fairly well, it's not going to shock me at all if full open formal contact with these entities takes place.
Yeah.
And that would be another pretty interesting development, to say the least.
Okay. We've got like about 5 minutes, but capsulize this, if you would. Hypothetical situation. President Obama says to you, Mr. Bassett, these guys don't let me in. They tell me I don't have a need to know here. But you seem to know, so come into my office, sit down in the Oval Office, and lay your evidence on my table. What would you bring?
I would send him about a dozen researchers, and they would lay the evidence out.
Such as?
It's all out there. Researchers into the history of the truth embargo, document recovery, research into Roswell, other events. They've documented this pretty well for 60 years. There's 3,000 or 4,000 books at least. The material is overwhelming. Photographs, video, of course, the witness testimony. Frankly, it would fill a room. It would fill up a huge room, wall to wall. But remember, you don't have to. I can assure you that a lot of people on the Hill in Washington, D.C., know there's an ET presence. You don't have to prove it to them. They know it.
Yeah.
They figured it out for themselves. The issue isn't proving it. It's proven. The issue is, how do you resolve the issue. The message I would give to to President Obama if he made that call to me would be, no, I can't come down and convince you of anything. But I would suggest this. You call in your top military and intelligence officials, and you ask them for a briefing. And if they tell you you don't need to know, you fire them on the spot, and you ask their subordinates to come in, and you ask them for the full briefing. And if they tell you you don't have any know, you fire them, and you keep firing people until you get somebody that says, yes, Mr. President, what do you want to know? That would be my advice.
He has no need to know. Isn't that frightening?
Sure, it should be. It should be very frightening. Yeah. We've been operating in kind of a suspended animation for a very long time. God knows what's been done regarding this issue that we have no idea about. Lord knows what kind of actions they've taken with respect to these extraterrestrials. We've certainly seen them screw up pretty big in terms of standard terrestrial developments. Have they been screwing up in the extraterrestrial realm? We have no idea. Does the Congress know? No idea. Is there a proper oversight of the secret empire? Not even close. So we got some serious things to. We have some serious house cleaning to do, and housekeeping rather to do, and we better get on it pretty fast. This is the door that we need to go through, I believe, to get to that that point where we can start reforming, adjusting, and modifying the way we're running the show here, so that we can actually have a 21st century.
Mm. Well, I think with your presence in Washington, your constant presence in Washington, and your briefings or press conferences at the Washington National Press Club, and whatever, I think the White House is well aware of you and what you stand for, and have they approached you on this?
No.
Do they ignore you on this?
Not where they've approached anybody. To do so would be, again, to let the cat out of the bag.
Yeah.
Will they ever? Who knows? But I'm not alone here. This is a movement. There's a movement here. We've got a growing international disclosure movement. Exopolitics has spread to Europe, and witnesses are coming forward. There are plenty of organizations involved. You know many of them. You can find links to all of this on my website, paradigmresearchgroup.org. So it's not just me. This is no personal thing. I mean, I'm just involved in a movement that is very important and will prevail. And there are plenty of people capable of dealing with the administration on this issue. Let us hope that they call upon them for their assistance at some point and don't rely on the same people that have advised them to contain this. They need new voices. They need knowledgeable people. There's a lot of very sharp researchers out there that know a lot, and hopefully they'll be brought into the picture. At some point, if not just before disclosure, then after disclosure.
Right. I think Dr. Lear, Roger Lear, would be another excellent person to bring into the White House to prove the point that our citizens are being abducted. Of course, there's nothing the Air Force or military can do about it. And I think that's what scares them, to be able to say, yes, they're abducting our citizens, yes, they're here, and there's not a darn thing we can do about it. Sleep well tonight, your Air Force is awake.
What can we say? It's a tough issue. That's a tough question.
Yes, it is.
I happen to believe that disclosure may be, in terms of unwelcomed, uninvited contact,
right.
I believe the best chance for that to end is for disclosure to take place.
Yeah.
I think it might lead to that. And if it doesn't, well, it's going on anyway. So at least we'll know.
Yeah.
And I think that there are things we might be able to do to minimize that.
Mm-hmm.
But it sure isn't going to happen. Right now, everybody that's having to deal with unpleasant extraterrestrial contact, there's nobody behind them. The government doesn't even acknowledge they exist or their issue exists.
Mm-hmm.
They have nothing. So with disclosure, they will at least have the beginnings of a support base.
Yeah.
There is a support base out there, but I mean a far larger and more publicly acknowledged support base. So there is no justification anymore, David, for keeping this going. It needs to end.
And one more time, URL where people can go to find out where to send their letters to. The press club,
the press corps. The press corps and phase three of the facts on Washington is at factsonwashington.org. Go there. Everything you need to know is right there. Just get the letter off. You can go to the archive of Facts on Washington Phase 2, and you can get the White House stuff, and you can continue to send letters to the president. By all means, keep sending them. But we need, whether you're sending any more letters to the president or not, we need letters going to the White House press corps in the month of June.
Right.
As many as you can send. Right. Send a fax, send an email, and a letter. Do all three. Do the hat trick.
All right. Mr. Stephen Bassett, I want to thank you so much for joining us this evening, and hope we can do it again sometime.
Thank you, David.
Good night.
Bye.
And if you have any questions or comments for me, you can email me at dtwitchell@hotmail.com. And this show, as well as all the forum shows, is now archived at whfr.fm's website. Click on the forum button on the homepage. We Are Not Alone is also archived at my website, ufoimplications.com. That's ufoimplications.com. Stay tuned to WHFR for the best in alternative programming. And I want to thank you for joining us today. Please join us again the first Saturday of each month at 10 a.m. when we will again explore the mysteries of the UFO phenomenon. And until then, this is David Twitchell reminding you to keep an eye on the sky.
And good morning.